Sylvia Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is about core values.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, our books, CDs, or book an Akashic reading, please go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. What we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the duration of the show. I won't know about anything else that happens because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. Please do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got time to go through too much information at the beginning of each show, as it would take up too much valuable time, and we prefer to give that to spirit. I'll say goodbye for this week. It should only take a few seconds before Gregory Hay is here, and Sylvie will be looking after you. Have a great show.
Gregory Hay had an earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world, and now he comes to share his wisdom with us, for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us towards a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people, who have a valuable input to make. The information we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. The next voice you will hear, apart from mine, is Spirit Guide Gregory Hay. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, Finn.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thought you would never ask.
I know. Okay, well, today we're going to be talking about core values, and as far as I can see, I really don't know what your take on it's going to be, but it seems to be a double-edged sword, really.
Yes.
People's core values can either be such a great help or a hindrance, really, and
yes, absolutely.
Clash so much with everything else in the world.
Yes, particularly then if someone has core values which are at odds with someone else's sense or feeling, if they are not being mindful of harmony, of harmonic ways, which the universe, or at least the physical side of life, as you understand it, depends upon. If you have a society or a section of it which has a very high held core value, you will usually find a great deal of animosity, for example, by others outside of that society. And this is true of any strata of walk of life. If you even look at and observe situations which are quite obvious from close-knit communities, you can see that within that community there will be a great strength and an overwhelming sense of love and friendship, camaraderie, and also feelings to do with a moral sense of ethic toward one another. So therefore, their behavior, of course, will be limited. It won't usually show animosity toward others within the group. So each and other brethren will, in fact, become even more invited and a part of the group. You would have then this feeling of completeness within the group. That is perhaps something that many people aspire to have and to make in their life. The problem with, for many people, as they see it and as they feel it within themselves, is that they do not have a structure, perhaps, with which to adhere to the same values. How are they, for example, going to be able to have such core friendships, long-lasting, throughout their whole lives, and with such values of community spirit, if it is that they do not have others to associate these gifts with? We can see that so many people on your side of life miss out upon these core values. If someone is isolated, perhaps through what they do, it may be that they have a job of work which is very isolating in itself. Perhaps they work at odd hours of the day or night. It may well be that even for a person, shall we say, within an enclave or a very community-minded group of people, those people who have difficult jobs of work or something like that actually find it very difficult then to cooperate within the group, within the community. And yet there still appears to be this stable basis, this cornerstone of their life experience, which enables them to be able to cope with those strenuous efforts and the stresses that actually arise through having to do something for a living that is out of the ordinary, and perhaps something which is not that pleasant either.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, there is this support group there. What then if you have someone who is outside of all of that, and they struggle to find different other beings, friends or whatever, friendships are difficult to make, and other relationships are difficult to come by, perhaps because they feel so isolated? It may well be that this is an attribute of a religious group. You may find that some people are, in a sense, isolated because they do not conform to the standard of the community. That doesn't mean to say that that makes that standard right or correct. But it is just really to understand that within a group of harmonized people, you would also have some people who are just on the periphery of that. And perhaps they are there because they do not agree with all the facts or facets of that group and their indoctrination. Perhaps it may be that because of the group's indoctrination, that actually seals some people out of their community. This can often leave some people feeling very isolated and affected, even perhaps negatively toward the community group itself. This is generally why you have problems arising from large communities. So how do these breaks within communities work? Why do they arise? To begin with, as I say, you have to look at the different parameters involved. So, what are the subjects, perhaps the core subjects that are involved in this situation? Religion is a very obvious one. Material possession is another. Perhaps material standards. Morality of another section of that enclave perhaps will have a lot to do with the way individuals feel toward the group. Some people's morality, of course, is on the surface very harmonious with the group. And yet it may well be that behind closed doors of their own private life, their morality is far different. I am not here making a judgment upon one person's morality or another. Their behavior and the course of their life is their own free will. I accept that some people find some forms of behavior abhorrent, whilst others, in their own incisiveness and state of mind, find other forms of behavior quite acceptable, uncommon with the rest of the group. So, we have a situation of a community which is faced with a problem. Perhaps because during the cycle of education, the community does not only keep to themselves the indoctrination that they follow. Perhaps it may be that during the education of children, that the community actually indoctrinates those children with their own specific way of life. In this way, they are trying to ensure the harmony of the community, and also they are trying to ensure that the way forward is only to be beheld within that specific religious group and theory. So what then if you have people outside of that group? How are they possibly going to get in to it, feel harmonized with that group, if they are so kept at arm's length, ostracized in a sense, because they do not have the same religious leaning? This does pose a great difficulty, and we can see throughout your side of life, different parts of the world express these different forms of anxiety, and these can erupt in extreme violence and war, simply because different parts of the community cannot get along through religious divide and theocracy domination. It depends, you see, entirely upon how a community has become balanced within its lifetime. So we can see that if you take a community which is particularly harmonic toward each other, but, however, restricts the possibility of being harmonic toward other religious groups, perhaps it is that they are being taught from the clerics or the clergy or whoever it is that is in charge of that religious group, that all other outside theories and indoctrination are evil. You obviously then have a very alarming practice simply by saying that statement, making that view held, completes the picture for others who are outside of that group, perhaps wanting to have a part of it, wanting to be loved by them just like they would love themselves. Isn't that really what the core value of religion should be about? Teaching people the arms of love, teaching people that to be aspirants of that particular religion or theocracy, that they would have to walk as an acolyte in every sense of the word, being as though they are trying to be more pure in their life. If you have someone who through some educational practice has not come up to the mark, but may be equally well steeped in their same religious fervor as the rest of the group, obviously they are not going to feel so outcast and so separated. They may still have core values interrupted of their physical life because they cannot make the same material desires seem apparent upon their life experience, cannot obtain the same housing, the same material possessions, cars, clothes, whatever that is, have the same holidays. It would appear this matters not to some forms of religious virtue, who, no matter what you have made or been able to accumulate in your life experience, whether this is through your own understanding, your own climb to do with your consciousness or your creativity. Yes, these things may be observed and admired by some, or on the other hand, of course, if they go against the teaching and the theocracy given to that group, then, of course, that person is vilified. We can see that core values have very many different energies about them, and the reason for bringing up this subject is to try to show you, the listener, how it is that we can each take a part of our lives with our thoughts and feelings and all of the information we have had to date in this lifetime, and then be able to transform it and ourselves into a more loving being, perhaps by being more acceptant of other people's views and beliefs. One of the things that we observe from our side of life is that human beings are very reticent about their own beliefs and cannot possibly tolerate the thoughts and feelings of someone else. Perhaps especially if they go very much against their own coat of arms, their own understanding and walk of life. People wonder why it is that there is war or violence much of this is due to this core value of which we have just discussed. People become incensed by not being able to achieve the goals that others have reached because of their very chumsy attitude with the rest of their community. They would most definitely like to be as loved and as cherished, but so many families we observe feel separated from this task and from this possibility in life, because the availability to them, perhaps not necessarily anything to do with their own life, but perhaps to do with their parents or something like that. So they are not actually included in the group. Something that perhaps other religious groups should take notice of. That if you have beings who are less than generous with their love, with their giving, with their service to others, perhaps seen as being just taking for themselves, albeit that they are doing so in a way that society finds acceptable. The point is, with different stratas of a society, you will see that many people who have less than many others will try and use different means available to them. And you are only looking at the forces of instinct. How else are they going to survive, accumulate the same things that other people who are higher up the strata of personal life? And the things they are able to acquire, material possessions and that kind of thing, how else are these other lower strata people going to be able to acquire them, if not through devious means? Helping them to feel better about themselves. Perhaps you could say that media attention and advertisement of particular material possessions are something that really should have a great deal to answer for, because it is stretching and putting a great strain upon the core value of people who have a great deal more than they can afford and really should have a different set of principles by which to live. There is always appearing to be this observance that we can see of greed and the avarice that people put upon possessions and material needs and desires. And that is something which upsets the equilibrium of the soul of the being. These needs and desires come into play even within the realms of peace. How can one group of people, of human beings, accelerate their vibration and their desire to raise their consciousness, and yet at the same time be angered by others who express theirs and find peace through whatever direction or instrument they're able to do that? How can it be that you can have one section of a society who actually feels privileged above others and lives in a privileged life, and yet you have others struggling just less than a mile away to even breathe, to even put food on the plate? Surely there is a great deal of consternation from civil leaders and from community leaders of how exactly it is going to be that harmony continues to survive. It can only really come about by people joining in, by people becoming a part of the group. I am aware that some prefer to remain on the outside and would be hostile to any invocation or interruption in their own lifestyle. Some people welcome the isolation of their life and are actually quite happy at just living in whatever way or manner it is they have chosen. I understand this. I really do. For some people, their spiritual evolution perhaps has come to that point, has brought them to that point, not of isolation enforced by themselves or others, but perhaps they are just happy with who they are and how they live. Happy with themselves is something which brings cohesive understanding to the plan of life. If you as a physical being do not understand the core value within your life and are happy to accept it, perhaps it is a being who has not succeeded in great amounts of material possession or worth, but perhaps it is something which is not important to them, What of their core value then? Does that mean to say that another society or community would place that person at odds just because they have less material possessions, regardless of their happiness? Of course, that would be making an unnecessary judgment upon them. It would be saying, well, we have our core value and this is how you should be. And if you do not have all of these possessions, then you cannot possibly be happy. And yet some people are. For some, it matters not of the core values of others, but they are just happy and content with being alive. Yes, with sharing the life along with others, observing perhaps in silence how they make their mark, build up their material possessions, and yet are still not necessarily happy with it. I'm not saying here either that material possessions mean or equate with someone being unhappy. I understand many people do have great happiness over the things that they are able to acquire, the possessions and that kind of thing. After all, it is a material life, and we do understand that. Remember, though, that in the spirit world, whatever material needs your consciousness may have a hankering after is not necessarily something which is going to be fulfilled. Yes, it may be something which is within the consciousness of the mind, and as the consciousness moves with the spirit through the spirit world, you will perhaps evaluate certain creative forces that will enable you to bring about a certain amount of material desires. But these are only temporary. The point is, in the spirit world, it takes a great deal of energy to continually increase or maintain the desires that you had in physical life, particularly to do with material possessions. And I'm saying really mainly to do with the material things of life. For many people who pass over to our side of life, they understand that material possessions are gone and have no desire to continue that fulfillment. Their consciousness then alters into a different creative force. It simply transmutes to another sense of feeling. Other priorities take the consciousness lead, and you are becoming more focused away from material needs to things which are non-physical, but yet appear to have a different force and a different need and desire upon them. So just because a person has the core value within their own life of being incredibly material doesn't mean to say that it will follow on in the spirit world, because it will soon become apparent that those forms of desire are not needed here. And they're not.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're discussing core values. That made me think about core values. Should they be reassessed throughout your life?
I feel so, friend. As life continues and moves onward, surely it is better to admit fault within your own life. Otherwise, however, are you going to be able to continue with your life experience? How are you going to be able to accept new possibilities? The walk of life, after all, is all about creation. So if you fail to create, even create fulfillment for being hungry, or create desire of fulfilling a spiritual need, if you do not create these paths, you are usually accepting the point of failure. And by creation, I mean to say that surely creation leads from an understanding of the perception that you require to create something, to fulfill a need, or to bring about some form of forward motion.
Growth.
And growth, yes, quite so. If you do not do that, you are ignoring the possibilities of the creative force of your life. That is what life is, a creative force. Even for a pair of rats or something, they are actually having a creative force in their life. They are doing something, gathering food, eating it, fulfilling a need. They're motivated as well into perhaps producing offspring to continue their genetic line. That is something which has motivation, that perhaps you do not feel that this is a moral issue purely because of the species of rat. but it may well have that within the underlying consciousness of the rat that it actually understands very well of what it is supposed to do. And perhaps there is desire, but also creative force to want to excel so that the genetics will be something of a positivity for the species. Am I saying then that a rat thinks about all of that? Well, I think in a simplistic way it does, yes. It has a conscious urge. It is something which is not just driven through instinct, but also comes about through the consciousness of its own ability to think and understand and perceive, I must do this, go here, do that. All of these are marches of the integrated consciousness state and ability to perceive and create and move forward. So even if rats can do it, and spiders and other beings, then surely this is something which is also of a perception within human beings. I have to say that for human beings there is most definitely a great deal of creative force possible in the life. It is only about the person's individual decision and judgment as to whether they may take a particular path or not.
Yes, well, that along with our core values can drive and direct our purpose. And
yes,
it's really on about staying focused on what matters to you at the time, but being flexible enough to understand that this can change and still then be inspired and motivated to continue in a different direction without any fear of judgment. And then that's the rub, though, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
For most people, the judgment.
Yes, the judgment of self or from those peers brought upon them.
Mm.
That is always going to be a problem. As much as anyone would like just to be able to be thankful with their life and perhaps be in a state of bliss and happiness with it, what they are actually doing is inviting the energy of someone else to make a description of it, to have a judgment upon it, cast upon them, whether they think that what they are doing is a walk of value or not.
Mm-hmm.
Surely, in actually having that perception and understanding of being able to say, well, I give you that energy, if they hadn't given them that energy, then whatever they had said wouldn't have made a blind bit of difference to that walk of life, and they would have still been in a state of happiness and bliss, regardless of what the other person had said about their walk of life. May well have been, of course, that they had chastised them roundly, said derogatory remarks or whatever, called them names or even blasphemed in their faces. That, in fact, could be said to be something that if a human being who is at the core, at the reception end of that form of behavior, is still smiling and happy, then surely that energy is going to be rebounded upon that person who is slandering them or whatever, saying they are no good. You see, it is all about whether you accept the energy forced upon you by others. So what I'm saying then is you can have a community spirit of people, and perhaps together, unanimously, they slander someone else, perhaps who they vilify because their religious understanding or theocracy doesn't intone with their own. By doing that, if that person, that human being, turns around and just smiles at them, they are sending their energy back. That means that the core group are in fact then feeling more outraged because the person has just merely smiled at them and accepted their negative energy, but actually mirrored it back with a smile. You see, there are different values within the core heart of some people. They can accept the description that other people want to vilify them or say that what they are doing, their physical action, is not representing good nature or the creative force of all life. Perhaps that what they are doing is evil or that is aspiring or is damaging the name of God or whatever. They can say all of that, and it would only have an effect if that then produces a result. This is what you have at present. In your situation of violence, which has erupted between different religious groups, you are looking and observing at different religious groups who are, in fact, antagonizing one another with threats of their behavior. They are saying that this is a vilified person or whatever, it may be a leader of a particular country. Perhaps they burn effigies of that leader or something like that. And this is something which is then incensing the country of the leader who is being so vilified. Does that then mean, in absorbing that energy, that country is in fact exacting the same lesser value and vibration as the country which is protagonizing that core value? So what you then have is a case of violence creating further violence, just because it is something which riles the other organization, or the other country, the other community. 'Tis a part of the problem when you have people who cannot trust one another, perhaps from one community to another. You may have, for example, a situation between different forms of Arab. I'm not picking on this particularly, but it is such a clear-cut case in point that you have different forms of sect within a specific religious group who vie for different parts of the same religion and are calling that different pathway as though that is the sanctuary and that the other pathway is of a lesser value. By doing that, spreading that antagonism toward that group, what they are doing is baiting them. They are creating negative energy toward the other group by voicing, perhaps vociferously, these altered opinions, perhaps even saying that they are damned for not following their own view and belief. Simply by doing this, they are eliminating their core value, degrading it to something extremely negative, sending it to the other community, who then responds in kind, perhaps. Which is why you have retaliations of violence, which is why you have this split core value, where people just are only concerned with beating the other side, and not really with understanding how this has all come about, just from a point of view.
People look down on those who change their core values, and yet growth in its truest sense of the word can't be possible if you're resistant to change.
Absolutely so, friend. I could not agree more.
It cancels each other out, doesn't it?
Yes, of course it does. Every being has to move with positivity toward progress. Progress is only possible if all beings understand change is inevitable. Doesn't mean to say that change is always going to be a good thing. That is why it needs to be steered. That is why it needs to be communicated as to the acceptable state of it or not.
But it has to come from within that person, not within whatever group or religion or political group or whatever it is, group that they are involved in. It has to come from the heart, from the individual, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And it shouldn't be seen as a weakness to admit the need to change values.
Yes, but I have to say quickly, that is part of the problem, is that as soon as someone acquiesces to understanding, oh yes, I can see that there is a need for change, that we could do something to motivate the creation of some other thought here, and a greater understanding, or perhaps a different understanding, allowing this theocracy to accommodate other thoughts and other streams of idea. This, in the face of many people, because of their belligerent attitude to the past and the fearful state of altering anything which had been laid down as a perfection of law, means to create greater barriers between those people, surely. It means to say then that they cannot alter the status quo, that anything outside of that means that you are being blasphemous toward that religious stance or that theocracy, which after all was only really initiated and brought about by somebody's mind, somebody's idea. Someone had the thought, I will do this, I will say this, write this down. And then others have lined up behind it and said, yes, we all agree with this and nothing else can be dissented from it. That is a big problem, that human beings have such black and white issues over their core values and their morality and belief system. They adopt belief readily rather than trying to find truth. Truth, I know, is in the eye of the beholder, and it may well be that for one religious group or another, they will always say, this is the truth because this has been written by this individual. And I understand that. Otherwise, obviously, anyone could say that I was talking completely out of turn or saying things which were completely racist or fascist or against all other people's sensibilities. That I was perhaps being blasphemous toward all of these other different forms of religion because I didn't behold them. I simply do not behold them because I look upon truth and scientific fact.
Well, I think another situation as well that falls into this category is the family and the generations, you know, of how they had their values and upbringing, the upbringing of children in these so-called strong foundations and that sort of thing. But, well, it all goes under the same umbrella, really. I mean, it might have been good for generations before or whatever, you know,
yes.
A strict family upbringing and that
yes.
sort of thing.
Yes, that of
that
course...
That can be damaging too, can't it?
It can be damaging too, and that of course had actually been because the prime motivation behind that was something that the leaders of that particular community or nationality were doing at that time. Perhaps their behaviour they were bringing about in front of other people was something of this austere value, and perhaps they had a great deal to say about the core values of other people and how their behaviour should be operated. If you would have a leader of a community or country who states such a thing, it will obviously have an impact upon the core value of those people, those subjects within that nationality. Mm. I understand that this may not befall on everyone, but for the most part, if you have someone who is in extremely clear and strong leadership in that way, Victorian values, for example, is something which came about through austere and very conservative thoughts and opinions. People were kept in their place simply because of the strata of the community, and that was the way that everything worked. You still have communities now, even more than 100 years further on, that have laboured about their whole incitement of value. You may have, for example, a community which keeps and controls and maintains the value of different gender. Perhaps they keep and value women above men, purely because of the fact that those men who are in control of the situation don't want to have any competition. Do not want to have anyone upsetting the gene pool they wish to state as being a part of that religious sect. And therefore, they actually throw out the male children of that sect. Little like bears, I suppose, who will fight one another for the chance or the privilege to mate. And we see human being groups doing exactly the same thing, and using religious feelings and indoctrination as an excuse for that behaviour. Does that mean to say then that animal behaviour has less of a core value? Well, the point is that although it is imitating animal behaviour actually comes from instinct in general, which is to do with survival of the core genetic of their ancestry. And that is the value different beings within that particular species have and try to interject. With human beings, we can see a different value because it is something which is manipulated through conscious effort and created through conscious effort. So therefore, you would have perhaps boys and young men who are ostracized from that community because the leadership says so, because they want to maintain their genetic sway, and so are summarily ejected from the community, regardless of their love, regardless of their harmony, regardless of the way in which their behaviour comes out in their life.
One of the things that I find really difficult to understand, and I mean it is values really, is how human beings can actually embrace and love in one instance, and like say for instance in this community that we were talking about where their values are the same.
Yes.
And then to the next minute, like say for instance if somebody does change their values and steps outside of that group, to hate, instant hate. I can't work out the boundary, what happens there. It's the same with marriage.
Yes.
It's the same with marriage if a couple have been blissfully happy, absolutely wonderfully happy, and then something happens and then they split up and they just absolutely hate each other.
Yes, not only do they hate each other, but the parents and the other siblings or whatever from each individual family group also have feelings of antagonism or can have feelings of antagonism toward each other.
And core values are then used to describe why this is justified in both of these scenarios. But how can that happen? It's like a flip of a switch.
Yes, quite so. Of course, because the situation is tolerated if the invited partner to the family group is actually bringing something of good genetics and behavior and morality code that the other family accepts. If it then turns out that the morality code is incomplete or not completely to their liking, even regardless of the fact that other members within their own family, uncles, aunts or whatever, may be actually behaving in the same way, but for them, of course, they are not vilified in the same way. They are not chastised and cast out. Simply regarded as, oh, that's uncle whatever his name. That's his sort of behavior. And then it is in some way acceptable to that community or to that family group.
Mm.
And yet you have one person, perhaps from a different family, who comes in by way of marriage, as you say, and perhaps everything is blissful, as you say, until something comes amiss and the wheels come off the wagon, as it were,
mm-hmm.
and the whole situation is reversed in an instant. All that love turns to hate.
Mm.
Because part of the reason, I have to say, is because it is treated by the core family as being deception. That they were actually then shown to have misjudged that acceptance of that human being into their family.
Right.
So that is part of the core decision of why then it is that people rise up against this outsider as it is seen, once their value or their behavior brings about something of disrepute or something that they do not engage with.
Mm.
That then, you see, becomes really how disharmony descends and breaks up the group. And it really shows their core value of what it is behind them. Because surely, if you have such antagonism where there was love, does that mean to say then that the behavior of those people within that family group was actually very shallow? Probably. That they didn't really mean it, that perhaps underneath it all they had some distrust about that being to start with. And part of the agony and the anger that is coming out once the situation has shed light and been revealed simply means that they were stupid enough to be duped by it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is part of their anger and resentment, that they have shown to have failed in their understanding, in their surmisation of the situation and how it became apparent. You see, their judgment was impaired.
Yes, well, it's this whole pack thing, isn't it, that humans tend to do?
Yes, unlike a pack of wolves, in fact, because a pack of wolves will actually be very coherent and understanding. They won't actually take back their feelings like human beings do.
Hmm.
Allegiances are something which are gradual with other pack animals. And it is so with human beings as well. Some will be very slow to accept outside influences because they want to harmonize their creative force only within the family group. And that is the group that matters. That is the way that it matters. Whereas if you bring someone else from outside of the family, you are very observant to begin with. Perhaps you are very reserved as to how you make a judgment about that person. You are only that way because you are waiting to see how their morality, how their code of life actually works out. Is it going to be as harmonic as you think? What does this person see in this other person who is brought in from outside of the group? And so it will be. Others will wait to see if that person, if that individual is going to be of benefit to the group. That is the point, I feel. And then if they are not of benefit, if something suddenly springs upon them that they do not expect, they are shocked, in a state of shock and anger at their own unfortunate, unclear mind. And their consciousness understanding is, of course, obviously then at fault. And people generally do not like to show their consciousness or their decision-making process as being faulty.
As human beings, are we born with core values as human beings, you know, that are inherent in all of us? Like nurture, I suppose, would be one.
Yes, absolutely so.
So are there others?
There are others of harmony. People really do like to be in harmony. Very few people like or prefer to be violent. And yet, of course, we understand that that exists as well, because it is the other side of harmony. There are other core values of love, intention to create. There is a core value of survival, which, of course, is part of how core values actually work together. Much of the description of what we have been talking about is to do with survival. And human beings look toward the genetics of their own family group and the way in which different people have come in from other families, as of course they will. Within the human description, there is not the will to accept a lesser diversity as there is perhaps in the animal kingdom. Perhaps it is described as being morally incompatible, although I understand some groups on your side of life still accept relations with cousins or whatever. So that is something which is acceptable to some groups and not to others. The fear exists because of the genetic code and the possibilities of a malfunction in that genetic code. So these are, of course, all products of physical life. When we look at the situation in the spirit world, we can actually see the products of the environment in which a spirit lives is far purer. So you do not have the same difficulties as a parent in similar ways. You may have then someone in the spirit world who has created damaging pathway in their physical life, and yet they struggle with their energy in the spirit world. Perhaps they need help, and help will be given if they ask for it. If a person in the spirit world who has been negative can see the error of their ways and wants to move forward, wants to be creative, wants to be loving and sympathetic, wants to be harmonic toward other beings, we will always help them to do that. And it isn't to say that a being, once having had a physical life, must always walk around with the yoke of their past pinned to them.
Yes, like you've said before, they hold on to their core values in the spirit world too.
Absolutely,
a lot
yes.
of the time.
Yes. There are many people, even in their religious groups and that kind of thing, will hold on to that concept and continue it throughout their walk in the spirit world for thousands of years.
Yes, but I don't suppose that they can defend their core values that they do here. And
oh, yes.
They do.
Oh, yes, they do. Absolutely so. Vehemently.
Yes, but not physically damage other people.
No, not physically damage other people, but keep other people out of their lives. You may well have people within one family and there was a priest or a number of priests within the family, and that perhaps it had been that those priests were of such an order that they continued to remain outside of the family value because it had been that they wished to keep their own consciousness of purity and not be sullied by any interaction between their previous ancestry. Perhaps they didn't believe in it. Perhaps they did not see or understand the ancestral value. Perhaps they felt, in fact, that their ancestry was that if they didn't think like them, that they were evil. That would be enough to keep those parts of their ancestry away from one another.
I can understand that it's insulting. It would be insulting to say to somebody that they have to change their core values. There would have to be a certain way of doing that. And even in doing that, that's a judgment, isn't it?
Of course.
So how do you do that? How do you do that in the spirit world? I don't know how you do it here, that's for sure. But
yes, well, in the spirit world, we just carry on the way we do. We do not judge anyone. It is up to other people to want to, I suppose, play along with the game. That doesn't mean to say that it's a game of a frivolous activity. I'm meaning that the situation of understanding the concept of mind consciousness and how some people rebuke it and sit there waiting for the next life for them to have and waste so much precious time for their own creation and activity. We do not place any judgment upon them. We will observe them, say good morning or whatever as we walk by. If they wish to sit there and perhaps be someone like a monk who is constantly meditating or whatever. Absolutely perfect. That is what they want to do. we will not make a judgment upon them. It will only be when a person asks a question, that is when we will stop, you see, and bring communication to them.
Mm-hmm.
If a human being asks a question, they are stepping outside of their own limited core value. They are stepping outside of that to try to be more inclusive. So that means that because of their own will, they have seen something which has caught their attention outside of that will that they had created. Therefore, they are beginning to grow. Growth is something which brings excitement to any being and to beings in the spirit world in particular. Because growth means that you are being stimulated and you are stimulating to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean to say that we are all just sitting around and waiting to be stimulating to someone else.
No.
We, in fact, continue within our group, within other groups. We have so much to do, so much time is lost in frivolous activity of waiting for someone else to make up their mind. So we just go about our business, and when they have made up their minds and want to ask a question, they do. And then, when they ask a question, someone is there listening, ready to give them an answer, or will lead them to someone who will give them an answer if they are prepared to follow. And that is a matter for them.
So the moral of the story is to be as open-minded as you can be while you're here, trying to think outside of the box.
Even if you are accepted within a particular religious value, and I am not knocking or trying to destroy any religious value or enclave you may be a part of. It is a matter for you. But know this, that any thought that you may have of your walk of life, any realm of feeling isolated, you are isolating yourself. Each individual, each person in physical life can step beyond their thought, beyond their present understanding. It doesn't mean to say that you are creating anxiety or that you are creating a detriment to the memory of your previous thought or religious persuasion. All you are doing is looking toward a different form of inclusiveness. All you are doing is asking a question, perhaps outside of something that you have searched through your own theocracy, your own idea. Perhaps not having found the answer has completely satisfied you or covered every aspect of your inquiry. It is only, my friends, through understanding that the creation of all things moves forward. From now the energy of the state of being to the state of being in is now. You are not stepping backward, you are always moving forward, because the thought you had yesterday was yesterday, and this new thought you have is for the creation of tomorrow. Be at peace upon your journey, and illuminated for all of those new thoughts and questions. Misunderstandings, misconceptions, brightened and cleared to the path of your new day.
Thank you, Gregory.
With love and light, as always. God bless upon your journey, friend.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show. And I'd just like to mention that our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us, as well as Spirits Hook Radio on the wonderful bbsradio.com on Mondays and Thursdays. We also have the Spirit Teaching Radio Show on artistfirst.com on Tuesdays. Details are also on our site. And my name is Sylvie Avery. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.